This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman and Dr. Paul Brown, who represents the Peach State's 10th Congressional District. And he is also getting some notoriety in Roll Call newspaper today for being the top sponsor of the most efforts to remove spending from various appropriations measures, offering 12 such measures, and the next closest would be 10. He's looking to do this incrementally, piece by piece, trying to find ways to spend less at every possible turn. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, I'm very honored to be with you. And we're facing an economic crisis in America. We're heading off of a cliff economically, and we've just got to stop this super speed train that's headed towards the economic collapse of our economy. We need to stop it. We have to stop the outrageous spending that's going on here in Washington. Right now, we are borrowing roughly 40 cents of every dollar that the federal government spends, and that's just not sustainable. So we have to stop this outrageous spending that Democrats and Republicans alike have been doing up here, and I'm going to fight as hard as I can to put us back on good economic grounds as a nation.
As you go through these spending bills line by line, how do you determine which ones are legit and which ones can reasonably be cut?
I think everything needs to be looked at, and we have to try to find ways to markedly cut the size and scope of the federal government. I believe in the Constitution as our founding fathers meant it. We should not be doing most of what the federal government's doing up here today, and we've got to send those powers back to the states and people, leave dollars in the hands of small businesses particularly, so we can create new jobs all across this country, get our economy going again, instead of people sending their money to Washington, D.C., and getting a pittance back with bigger government control of their lives. So I'll do everything I can to do just that. And as we, good example is we've got a war on poverty that's been going on since President Johnson put that into place. It's been an outright failure because our poor population is just as high as it has ever been, and we're making more people dependent upon the federal government. We look at programs that are duplicative. We look for fraud and abuse. We look for any source of change that we can make to try to stop the federal government from spending these outrageous sums. So we look at everything, and we'll continue to do so.
Of the 12 proposals that you submitted for spending reductions, 11 were in the arena of agriculture. Was those just the first ones to come forward, or is there something about the agriculture expenditures that you found particularly worthy of cutting?
No, we'll look at every appropriations bill to try to find some major cuts that we can make, because it's absolutely critical for our economic future. It's absolutely critical for us to develop new jobs in this country. We've got a lot of duplicative programs, a lot of entities that have money sitting in the bank, and they have looked, and a good example is WIC. WIC and other of these types of federal poverty programs that have been just really outright failures in the war on poverty, they've got money sitting in the bank. It's not about cutting out needed goods or services. It's about being good stewards of the money that we have. And so we've got to look at everything, and the ag bill was really the first appropriations bill that we had an opportunity to go through like we did. And so that's where we started, and we're going to do it with every appropriations bill that comes to the floor.
You mentioned WIC, and in that same roll call story, not surprisingly, the Democratic person quoted in that story said that basically that he found it appalling, or she found it appalling, whoever it was, that you would focus potentially on programs that they saw that were affecting low-income women and children. This is not a new talking point for Democrats, regardless of what Republican priority is out there, but what do you make of that being used once again?
Well, the Democrats are going to demagogue any kind of cuts. We hear them talking about that they want to make cuts in federal spending, that we've got to deal with this huge debt, but it's just like our founding fathers when they used to say, don't tax me, don't tax thee, tax the fellow behind the tree. Now the mantra up here by the Democrats is, don't cut me, don't cut thee, cut the fellow behind the tree. In committee after committee, I've heard the Democrat members talk about that they don't want this program cut or that program cut. They don't want any program cut. It's just we've got to look at every single program and find better ways of doing things here in Washington. And back to the WIC issue, my constituents find it appalling that their dollars go to illegal aliens or people without proper identification. That's exactly what's happening in the WIC program. We can actually solve the problems of poverty better in the private sector than government can do it. The governmental programs have been failures. So why are we continuing to do something that's been a failure? I think, as Albert Einstein said, that a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Well, we've been doing this for a long period of time. The results have always been the same. We're not doing anything except for making people more and more dependent upon the federal government, and we're not creating jobs and not in the private sector. The best way to take care of poverty is a very simple formula. It's a good-paying job, an education to go fulfill that job, and then an individual has the initiative to go and seek the education and seek the job. And we need to give people those opportunities instead of making them dependent, instead of putting people on what my friend Star Parker has described as Uncle Sam's plantation in her book. So we've just got to change the mentality up here and go back towards the kind of government that our founding fathers envisioned, and that means a very limited government with a very robust free enterprise system and very robust private sector. The private sector, which means the churches, the synagogues, the mosques, the private welfare agencies, can take care of these problems a whole lot better than some government bureaucrat in Washington, D.C.
Last topic before we let you go, Congressman, and that's that of these 12 proposals that you offered, only one of them was agreed to, and that was the one involving the smallest amount of money, about $600,000 for the Homeland Security Department's legislative affairs budget. With Republicans in control of Congress, how disappointed are you that more of these weren't adopted? What does that say about the commitment of the party at large?
Well, I'm disappointed that more of my proposals weren't accepted, but I'm going to continue to fight for what makes sense. I think there are a lot of people here in Washington that just don't understand that, number one, that we're in the economic situation that we are as a nation. I see that we are headed towards an economic catastrophe if we don't change mentality. The problem with most politicians in Washington is they don't want to give up power. I'd like to work myself into a part-time job, and that's what I'm going to continue to do, and there are not many members of Congress that would be willing to do that. They want more power, not less. They want more control, not less. We'll continue to fight for constitutionally limited government and try to get the people all across this country to demand from their elected representatives less government, and that's what I'm excited about. The grassroots movement all across this nation is beginning to wake up and say, we want our liberty back. We want to put this country back on a sustainable financial course. We want to get all the things that the federal government has taken away from the states and the people back in the hands of the states and the people, and I'll continue to try to fuel those fires.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us and helping our listeners understand what you're trying to accomplish up there on the Hill.
Well, let me invite our listeners to go on our website. It's Brown, B-R-O-U-N, Brown with a U instead of a W. My family either can't spell or can't pronounce one of the two, but it's brown.house.gov. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. If they don't live in the 10th Congressional District, if they'll send me an email, there's an email address there for me on the website, because I can't just automatically sign up unless they live in my district. If they'll send me an email and say, put them on our email newsletter list, we can put people all over the country on our email list, and we'll send them updates from Washington. So Brown, B-R-O-U-N, .house.gov.
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. God bless you.
Georgia Republican Congressman and Dr. Paul Brown represents Georgia's 10th Congressional District, and he's the focus of a roll call article today focusing on the fact that he has offered more spending cuts than anyone else in the early stages of the appropriations process for the coming fiscal year. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.